Okay, once again, we'd like to turn to Psalm 23. The series is Living Life in the 23rd Psalm. We've seen the parameter of this life is declared in verse 6, all the days of my life. So this is not an occasional, sporadic thing. It's consistent all the days of my life and everything that those days might be. Then we see here in the first verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He begins the psalm by recognizing the Lord. That's the first thing that he does. And we've been looking at that the last few weeks. It is a life recognizing the Lord, a life of personal awareness of the Lord. We've seen thus far that he recognizes, he's aware of the being of God, the Lord is. It's just a declaration of the being of God. We also see the person of God in that title, Lord. Again, these are progressive steps. A lot of people recognize the being of God, but that won't change your life drastically if that's where you get stuck. The next step is to realize the person of God. And that will change your life a little more, but even that will not change your life a whole lot unless you go to the next place, which is a recognition of a personal connection with the Lord. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Then he goes on and says, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That, of course, speaks of the care of God. And realizing the connection, you begin to recognize and that God's care in our life. And that's pretty much what he spends the rest of the psalm talking about, is the care of God, which goes along with recognizing the blessing of the Lord upon our lives. And once again, that's what the entire psalm is about. Which leads us to, there is also a firm persuasion and awareness that it all begins with God, that God is the focal point. Again, the first two words of the psalm are the Lord. The Lord. That's where he begins. The Lord. Our days would be much different if we would begin with the Lord. Everything would be much different if we would begin with the Lord. There's no better place to begin than with the Lord. David recognizes and acknowledges that God is the starting point. That's true. No matter what it is that we undertake, God is a starting point. That's true in marriage. It's true in home. That's true in education. It's true in everything. God is the starting point. God is the foundation. So much so that if God is not the starting point, you have a wrong starting point. If God is not the foundation, you have a wrong foundation. And all other foundations are sand. So he starts with God. And our life must start with God. And again, this is all the days of my life. Each day is to start with God. And we all know that by experience. You start your day with God, it makes a difference. It makes a huge difference. It may not change the circumstances of the day, but it'll certainly change your attitude toward the circumstances and the happenings. So this is how one functions properly, to start with God. The truth is, if we don't start with God, we don't function properly. We might function, but we don't function properly. It's what gives us a proper perspective, a proper attitude. You can just listen to people talk, you get an idea of their perspective, you get an idea of their attitude, and you can pretty much determine whether or not they start with God. But we all start somewhere. We all begin each day with something. Everything we do starts with something. And again, David begins, the Lord. The Lord. So he starts with God, but it's more than that. Throughout the psalm, the Lord is the priority. And now he starts with God, but God is the priority. And I can almost guarantee you, if you don't start with God, he won't be the priority and the preeminence throughout your day. So he starts with God, and then as you read through the psalm, it's all about God. Again, the personal pronouns referring to the Lord. It's all about God. He is the priority. He is the one who takes preeminence. And this must be so if we're going to live life in Psalm 23. You'll notice he starts with God. It's all about God as you go through the psalm. And then he ends with God. He ends with God. The house of the Lord forever. So, not only is God the starting point, it's all about him, and he's where he finishes. What a life. Start with God, all about God, and ends with the Lord. And that's what you have here in this 23rd Psalm. So, between verses 1 and 6, David recognizes and he's fully aware that God is the subject of his life. That's the subject of his life. We need to examine our lives. What is the subject of our life? All of our lives have a subject. They all have a topic. What is the subject? What is the topic of our lives? As you read these verses, you see that God's the substance. He's the essence. He's the main feature. And again, that must be so if we're going to live this life. So, God's the focal point of the psalmist in this psalm. It's who he's thinking about. It's who he's dependent upon. It's who he's relying upon. It's the one that he's passionate for. And there's no misery in the psalm. I mean, verse 4, you could, I don't believe it's so, but a person could say that it begins in misery. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But I don't think that's so either. And then as you go on, I will fear no evil. There's no misery in the psalm. It's pretty hard to be miserable. If you start with God, your life's all about God, and you end with God. Pretty hard to be miserable. No matter what happens, it's just impossible to be miserable. So it's all about God. That's the foundational characteristic of living this life. Which brings us to our next point. The Psalm 23 life, again, is a life recognizing God, but it's also a life in which we take our proper place before God. In those words, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. David realizes and he acknowledges the greatness and superiority of God. The Lord is. Now, you cannot recognize the greatness and superiority of God without also coming to the realization of the smallness of man, and both of which are absolutely necessary to living this life. Again, the Lord is, that's the greatness of God. He's my shepherd. That speaks of the smallness of man. So let's notice the position of David. He takes the position of the sheep. David was a shepherd, but he does not take the position. When it comes to the Lord, he does not take the position of a shepherd. David knew all about sheep. He takes the position of the sheep. And in doing so, when he says, "The Lord is my shepherd," he takes the position of the sheep, but there is also an assurance of salvation. There is an assurance that he belongs to the Lord, that he is one of the sheep. So when he says, "The Lord is my shepherd," he is also realizing and acknowledging that he is saved. There's an assurance of salvation. The Lord is my shepherd. There's assurance. And a person must be assured of salvation if they're going to live this life. And I believe from time to time, and I believe it's God's providence that calls us to search. It could be at times the devil. But that from time to time, people question perhaps their salvation. And I believe it's something we ought to at least examine. The Bible, Paul calls us to do that. But when those times happen, if we're saved, our assurance is strengthened. Because you can always go back to that time. Now the Lord uses the analogies of sheep and goats in describing his people by sheep and describing the unsaved as goats. And the psalmist takes the position of a sheep. Now the Lord distinguishes between sheep and goats. Notice Matthew chapter 25, verses 32 and verse 33. "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left." The Lord is my shepherd. Now the analogy of a sheep, I believe as you go through the Word of God, the sheep and the elect are equivalent. They're one and the same. Having said that, and again, it's just a detail. I'm not going to divide fellowship with anybody over it. But I believe the only ones that are truly lost are the sheep, the elect of God. The others are unsaved, but it's the elect that are lost. And Jesus came in Luke 19 to do what? Seek and to save the lost, his people. But the elect and the sheep are one and the same. Notice John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 16. John 10, verse 16. And other sheep I have. Other sheep I have. Besides these sheep right here, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them, who's the them? The other sheep. Also, I must bring them, the other sheep. Also, implying that these sheep have been brought, and the other sheep will be brought. And they, the other sheep, just like these sheep, shall hear my voice. They shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Notice verse 26. He's talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to the unsaved. But ye believe not. And then he explains why. Because you're not of my sheep. Because you're not of my sheep. You believe not because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And I know them. The Lord says, depart from me, for I knew thee not. That is, has an elect, chosen individual. Didn't know you that way. I know them. I know my sheep. And they follow me. They all will follow. Verse 28, and I give unto them, who? My sheep. I give unto them eternal life. And they, my sheep, shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, though they may try. It's not possible. My Father which gave them, who's the them? The sheep. My Father which gave them me, that's election. That's election. Amen. Who are the elect? The sheep. They're one and the same. They're equivalent. He's greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them, my sheep, the ones that the Father gave me, out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one in person, in attributes, but also they are one in regards to the sheep, the elect of God. So in taking the position of a sheep, is not David expressing the assurance of being one of the Lord's? He's expressing the assurance of being saved. You see, if you struggle with salvation, and there may be some here that do, I don't know. If you struggle with salvation, you have to get that settled. Because you will not serve God with that thing unsettled. That has to be settled. And it can only be settled between you and God. I can't settle that for you. Your parents can't settle that for you. Nobody can settle that for you. Through the years, I've had many church members come to me and said, I'm not sure if I'm saved. And we'll talk and they'll give their testimony, and I will never, and as long as I'm in my right mind, I will never try and convince them that they are saved. I'm not going to try to convince them that they're not either. But they need to get it straight. That thing needs to be settled. And that's between, the only way it can be settled is between them and the Lord. But he's speaking, when he takes the position of a sheep, he's speaking of the fact that a miracle of salvation has taken place in his life. We read in 1 Peter 2, well, let's turn there and we'll close. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. For ye were, past tense, as sheep going astray. You see, as a chosen one of God, I was never a goat. I was a lost sheep going astray. That's what we were. We were lost sheep going astray. But notice what it says. But are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And it's that being returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls. That was an event that took place. That event is salvation. So when David says, the Lord is my shepherd, he takes the position of the sheep, which is a declaration of his assurance of salvation. And in order to live this life, Psalm 23, there has to be an assurance of salvation. That has to be. And this is where David begins in taking his position before the Lord. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the fact that you have saved the souls of many that are sitting here today. And we thank you, Lord, for that. And we thank you, Lord, that you've not only saved our soul, but you've saved our life. And, Lord, that you've given us a life that we can live for your honor and for your glory, a life that is a joy to live. We thank you, Lord, for the life that you've given us to live. And Lord, we do pray that you would help us, Lord, to draw closer to thee. We pray that we would do that today, that each one of us would just draw closer to you. We do pray for those that are lost, that you would speak to their hearts, that you would open their hearts to salvation. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.